verse 38. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. We began a series several weeks ago on victory in Jesus. And we've looked at various passages of Scripture where the Lord gives us victory to overcome and to help us in our life. And in Luke chapter 10, we are going to look at another subject I believe will be a help to each of us. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, and also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word. We're grateful for the opportunity that we have to gather together, Lord, in your name, and Lord, to open your word. We know that it is your word that makes a difference in our lives. Lord, I understand my inability to help anyone. It is your word that truly guides and directs us into all truth. And so, Lord, I pray that in these next moments that we would be attentive to what you have to say. And I pray, Lord, that you would calm our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to have a focused attention on your word. That, Lord, I pray that you'd be glorified and that your word would be glorified in us. And so, Lord, we love you. We thank you for all that you've done and what you will do. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The message this morning is on a subject that is all familiar to all of us. The passage of Scripture is that of Mary and Martha. Now, Bethany was on the eastern side of the Mount of Olives, and there was a family there in Bethany that was very near to the heart of the Lord Jesus. In John chapter 11, I'll read these five verses here. The Bible says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped her feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister said unto him, saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick.' When Jesus heard that, he said, 'This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, and the Son of God might be glorified thereby.' Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." Jesus loved every member of this family. But there was one member who was typical of a person wearing thin with stress, and that was Martha. Martha is truly a picture of stress. Martha represents an individual that is stressed out. And this might be you this morning, and if it is, you're in the right place, because we're going to talk about stress and how we can have victory over stress. The Bible says that Martha was cumbered. The idea of being cumbered is to be driven about mentally. To be driven about mentally. She had such a burden to get things done in her life. This burden that she had was affecting the way that she thought, and it was also affecting the way that she acted. The Bible says that Martha was cumbered, but she was also constantly serving. I mean, true multitasking. I mean, she was always busy. There was always something for Martha to do. And she was cumbered because of this. Someone suggested traits, characteristics of a stress-prone individual. They plan their day unrealistically. They're the first to arrive. They're the last to leave. They're always in a hurry. They make no plans in their life for relaxing. They feel guilty when they do nothing or when they're not working. They see unforeseen problems as setbacks and disasters in their life. They're always thinking about several other things on their mind at one time, and they always feel the need to be recognized, and they overextend themselves because of this, because they want that recognition in their life. Now, when we are cumbered and when we are constantly serving, then what happens is we begin to complain. And Martha begins to complain to the Lord Jesus. She's running around doing this and doing that, and Mary wasn't doing anything at all. There's two different people that we see in this passage of Scripture. And I'll be honest with you, the church needs Marthas and the church needs Marys. But all of us at particular times in our life can get this Martha syndrome, where this spirit, this attitude can become a hindrance to our home and even to the church. Now, I love the Bible, and the Bible is the answer for life and for godliness. And God has given us, I believe, a blueprint in how we can find victory over a stress-prone life. This is powerful truths and practical truths that I believe will help us. Someone said, stressed out of measure and pressed all to all length. Pressed so intensely it seems beyond strength. Stressed in the body and pressed in the soul. Pressed in the mind till the dark surges roll. Pressed by foes and pressure by friends. Pressure on pressure till life nearly ends. Pressed into knowing no helper but God. Pressed into loving the staff and the rod. Pressed into liberty where nothing clings. Pressed into faith for impossible things. Pressed into tasting the joy of the Lord. Pressed into loving a Christ life outpoured. Now we understand this when we consider these two sisters, Mary and Martha. The Bible gives us truth to help us to deal with the pressures of our life, the stresses that we face in our life. And there are lots of things today, folks, that we could be stressed about. We could be stressed about the condition of our world. We could be stressed about the financial state of our world. We could be stressed about family matters, home issues, church issues. There's lots of things that we could get stressed about. And yet I want us to notice some truths about Mary and how we can learn from this woman and how to deal with the stresses of our life. If you're taking notes, would you write some things down here to help us? Number one, would you write down the pace of Mary? The pace of Mary. Now notice what the Bible says in Luke chapter 10 and verse 39. The Bible says, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. We notice the pace of Mary. Now, what was the pace of Mary from this passage of Scripture? Well, this was a restful pace, a restful pace. The Bible says that Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. You know, the Bible talks much about a restful pace. It says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Bible says in Psalm 27 in verse 14, it says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know, there's a Bible truth that is repeated over and over again in Scriptures. And that is a simple principle that we often miss in Canada, in North America, in a stress-prone society, God created us to be a people of rest. Listen, God created this earth in 6 literal days. He rested on the 7th. He didn't rest because he was tired. He rested because he was done. And he set the example for us that we also need rest and margin in our life. The Bible teaches us throughout the scriptures that we are to be a people of rest. We are to add rest into our life. Think about Jesus with his disciples. The Bible says that Jesus went away from the crowds of people and he went to a solitary place. What did he do? The Son of God, the Bible says he rested. Now, listen to me. The devil doesn't want us to pause. The devil doesn't want us to rest. The devil doesn't want us to get away from the busyness of our life and you know, the pressures of our life and the stresses of our life. He doesn't want us to get away and to come to a place like this and to focus our attention on the Bible, to focus our attention on the Word of God. For a Martha to sit still, I mean, it must drive them crazy, right? To pause and to be still and to listen to what God has to say. And yet the Bible teaches us that we indeed must be a people of rest. There must be a time in our life where we spend time with God. And, you know, I love Sundays. I know every day belongs to the Lord, but Sunday is the Lord's day. And, you know, we go back 100 years ago, 50 years ago, everyone was in church. Everyone spent time with the Lord. And, you know, I remember as a child driving through the towns in Nova Scotia, and on Sunday everything was closed and everyone was in church, and I mean it was expected for people to come to the house of the Lord. And I think it's a good time. I think it's an important time in our life to be still and to know that God is still God in our life. And it's so important in a world of hurry, in a world of rush, to slow down and to focus on the Lord and to focus our attention on the Word of God. And so Mary, we see her restful pace. She sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus. But also, not only is this a restful pace, I think this is a renewing pace. A renewing pace. The Bible teaches us that the outward man perishes, but it's the inward man that's renewed day by day. And we need a church service that focuses on the inward man, amen, that focuses on the Word of God and to sing praises unto the Lord and to focus our attention on the most important part of our life, our spiritual life. And so the Bible says it this way in Psalm 23, verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." This passage of scripture, the Shepherd's Psalm, is a wonderful passage of scripture that describes the pathway and the leadership of the shepherd in our life. And this pathway that the shepherd leads us in is a pathway of peace and a pathway of fulfillment. We notice this renewing pace of Mary. We see that her focus was renewed. It's easy to lose focus in time of stress. It's easy to take out that which is more important in our life or things that are less important in our life. And Mary is at the feet of Jesus. Mary is exactly where she should be. She's learning from the Lord Jesus. And Mary's focus here is that of a disciple. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2 teaches us that we're to look unto Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3 says, "For consider him." Consider the Lord Jesus. Renew your focus. Mary renewed her focus. but also it's a time of renewing our faith, of renewing our faith. Isaiah chapter 40, would you turn there with me, the Old Testament. The prophet Isaiah says this in the 40th chapter. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 31. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. The Bible says this, chapter 40, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. There's a renewing of our focus, and there's a renewing of our faith. You know, it doesn't matter how great the pressure is that comes into your life. What really matters is where the pressure lies. Because that pressure is either going to drive you away from the Lord, or it's going to drive you closer to the Lord. And the Bible teaches us as Christians that we should be dependent on the Lord, to have faith in God. And there are times in our life that we must rest. There are times in our life that we must be still and renew our faith in God. But also we must renew our fervency. The Bible says in Psalm 63 in verse 1, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. You know, I think it's important in these days to take time and to seek the Lord, to take time and to come to the Lord in prayer and to read His Word. The Bible says in Psalm 42 in verse 1, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee. And many times we have stresses in our life because we're not seeking God. We're not looking to the Lord. Someone said this, problems just tumbled about me, and heavier grew each task. Why didn't God help me, I wondered. And the Lord answered, why you didn't ask. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on gray and bleak. I wondered why, God, you didn't show me. And the Lord said, well, you didn't seek. I tried to come into God's presence, and I used all my keys at the lock. But God gently and lovingly chided, my child, you didn't knock. I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. You see, I had so much to get accomplished that I had to take time and pray. Begin your day with the Lord. Ask God to help you as you begin that work week, as you begin that work day. Ask God's blessings, ask God's help and direction and guidance as you begin the day with the Lord. You see, we notice Mary's pace. But I want us to notice, secondly, in our Bibles here, I want us to notice not only the pace of Mary, but notice the place of Mary. The place of Mary. Where is Mary? Well, Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet. And the Bible teaches us here in this scripture in Luke chapter 10 that as Martha is cumbered about, as Martha is stressed out with all the things she wanted to get done, Mary is kneeling at the feet of Jesus. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now, this was the ancient posture of a disciple or a learner. They would sit at the feet of their teachers. And this is this humble place of learning, this humble place of gaining knowledge. This is represented in the Bible as the Apostle Paul at the feet of Gamaliel in Acts chapter 22 in verse 3, in this humble position, learning from their teacher. And we see here in this passage of Scripture that Mary is at Jesus' feet. And it means here that Mary was a disciple of Jesus. And Mary wanted to learn what Jesus had to say. There were many distractions that were happening around her. But Mary wanted to know what Jesus' word was. And so she's sitting at the feet of the Lord. We notice some thoughts about the place of Mary. First of all, this was a humble place. This was a humble place. James teaches us in James chapter 4 and verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Peter says it this way in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and he giveth grace, he gives help to the humble. So humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And a part of humility is casting all of your care upon him, because he careth for you. You know, there's nothing showy about getting alone with God. There's nothing showy about humbling ourselves before God with an attitude of obedience to his word, a desire to learn what he has to say. Humility means that we understand that the Lord is the teacher and that we are the student. Humility means that we understand that we don't have all the answers today. We don't have all the answers in our home. Dads, we don't have all the answers. Moms, we don't have all the answers. The reality is, God does have all the answers. And so we kneel at his feet in humble adoration, understanding that he is the one that we seek. He's the one that gives grace to those who are humble, to those who submit to him. But not only is this a humble place, I believe this is also an honorable place. An honorable place. Often we are driven to obtain honors from the world. We want the world to pat us on the back. We want the world to recognize us for our accomplishments. But friend, there is no greater honor than for an individual to be right with God and to be walking with God. And we must understand this fact that when we bow our head to pray, it is the greatest privilege of all to know that the Creator God hears our prayer, hears us when we speak. The Creator God hears our prayer. It truly is a privilege. It truly is a privilege. And so the Bible says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, the flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You know, one preacher put it this way, all of your problems are prayer problems. All of your problems are prayer problems. It was Joseph Scriven that said, are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Then tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. We have a wonderful honor to be able to sit at the feet of Jesus and to talk to him and to know that he hears our prayers and he cares about us and he wants to guide us and help us in our life. And so Mary is at the feet of Jesus. It's a humble place, but it's an honorable place as she's learning from the Son of God. And then thirdly, and I'll be done, we see the purpose of Mary. The purpose of Mary. So Jesus comes to dinner to Mary and Martha's place. And Martha is working hard, and she's stressed out.
She's cumbered, the Bible says. She's stressed because of all that she has to get done. And I mean, the way that the Bible words it is that Mary, Martha, she feels like she's going to explode. I mean, she's so burdened. And maybe you feel like that. All that's happening in your life with work and with family, you get to these places in your life where you just feel like you're going to explode. So much stress, so much pressure in your life. But we notice that Mary had a different purpose. You see, Mary's purpose was spiritual. Mary wanted to hear from God. Serving is a good thing. And I'm not taking away from serving because, listen, fellowships at church would never go forward if people didn't serve. And you ought to serve the Lord. It's all important things. But the Bible says one thing is needful. And I've learned this over my years of pastoring, that we cannot serve the way we ought unless we spend time at Jesus' feet. And the Bible says in this passage of Scripture that Mary's purpose was for spiritual. She wanted to hear from the Lord. We see the power of the Word of God, the spiritual work of the Word of God in our life. The Bible says that Mary wanted to hear God's Word. You know, the Bible teaches us that it's God's Word that is our instructor. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You know that God's Word reproves us. You know that God's Word, it corrects us and it equips us, and God's Word, it comforts us. Have you ever had a bad day and you read a passage of Scripture and you felt comforted by God's Word, God speaking to us through His Word? It's God's Word that equips us and comforts us and guides us and cheers us. And God's Word gives us understanding, and it changes our life, because the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And here Mary understood the power of the Word of God, but also it's important for us to develop a passion for the Word of God. How do we do that? How do we develop a passion for the Word of God? Well, let me give you some thoughts. Number one, refuse to miss a single day without opening the Bible. And I get it. Our life is busy. And there's always something to be done. But remember that when you read the Bible, it's not always about the quantity as much as it's about the quality. And if you can only have time to read one psalm or three verses, I believe by faith that God will give you something from that. It's better to read three verses in a day than read nothing. Make time for the Bible. Reading the Bible is a necessary part of the Christian life. Job says this, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Job understood the importance of God's Word in his life. I don't know if you've heard the story of George Mueller. George Mueller read through the Bible more than 100 times in his lifetime. And he made this statement about reading the Bible. He says, "I look upon it as a lost day when I have not had a good time over the Word of God. Friends often say, I have so much to do and so many people to see. I cannot find time for a Scripture study. Perhaps there are not many who have more to do than I." George Mueller said this, "For more than half a century of my life, I have never known one day when I have not when I had not more business than I could get through. For 4 years, I have had annually about 30,000 letters, and most of these have passed through my own hands. Then as a pastor of a church with 1,200 believers, great has been my care. Besides, I have been in charge of 5 immense orphanages. Also, at my publishing depot, the printing and circulating of millions of tracts and books and Bibles. But I have always made it a rule in my life never to begin work until I have had a good season with God and His Word. It's a blessing. He says, the blessing I've received has been wonderful. And then pray for understanding. Pray for understanding. The psalmist said, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Gypsy Smith told a man who had received no inspiration through the Bible, he says, I've gone through it several times, and the Bible has not helped me at all. And Gypsy Smith said, well, let it go through you once, and you'll have a different story. Have a special time with the Word of God, and let God speak to your heart. You see, one thing is needful for us, and that is a spiritual purpose. It's easy to focus on the physical because we're living in a physical world, and you see my physical body, I see your physical body, and we're living in a physical world, and we live and we breathe a physical world. But the most important part of you is the part that no one can see, and that's your spiritual part that communes with God. And you can be strong physically and weak spiritually. The Bible says that bodily exercise profiteth little. It doesn't mean that it's not good for you. It is good for you. But it only affects the physical side. But godliness not only affects the physical side, the life you live today, but also the life that you're going to live to come. And so the spiritual part is so important. And Mary chose the spiritual part. But secondly, notice this, her purpose was eternal. Not only was her purpose spiritual, her purpose was eternal. One thing is needful, and Mary had chosen that good part. The Bible says that she could not lose what she received. The Bible says, lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. You see, the part that Mary chose, the eternal part, no one could take from her. It was eternal. But also she valued the eternal more than the temporal. So the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Mary chose that which could never be taken away. Christians, are you cumbered today? Are you stressed out? You feel like you're going to pop at any moment. You got so many pots on the burner, you don't know if you're coming or going. Well, let me tell you this. Take some time and focus on the spiritual. Look to the Lord. Let Him renew your strength. I believe this, and I'm saying this by faith, that if you begin your day with God, a lot of the problems that you would deal with, if you ask God to help you, He's probably going to take care of them for you. Let the Lord guide you through the stresses of your life. And let's learn from Mary. And let's look to the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word. We're grateful for its practical.